Blog Talk Radio.
Readers, my name is Brian W. Smith, and I'm the host of the Scribe Spot, a literary radio show where some of the best authors in the country share their thoughts about books and life. No show can grow unless listeners spread the word, so please, please, please pass the word to your friends who may not know about the Scribe Spot. The link to listen to the show is www.blogtalkradio.com/thescribespot. The number to call and speak to the guests tonight is area code 516-453-6053. Tonight's show is actually going to be a good one because I have someone on here that, I don't know, she's a special lady to me. She and I go back, and I know she's a good interview. I call her the lady with the velvet voice. Her novels have topped the Black Expression, the Amazon bestseller list. She has won the Female Author of the Year Award from several organizations and is currently nominated for the 2016 AALBC Female Author of the Year Award. She is one of a small group of African-American female authors who started out self-published and then signed a major book deal with Kensington and had her entire backlist purchased by the publisher and re-released. That's not common in this business. Even if you get a book deal, in many cases, they don't want what you put out previously. But Kensington not only signed her, but they re-released all of her old work, which is impressive. Speaks to the quality of what she was doing as a self-published author. A few years ago, this young lady made what some folks have called the best move of her career when she joined forces with an upcoming male author and created an internet radio show that at its peak averaged nearly 5,000 podcast downloads a week. The show was called On the Air with Trice and Brian, and to this day remains Trice's greatest accomplishment, in my opinion. She's done a lot of things, but the moment she decided to team up with this brilliant, I mean brilliant, young male author, that was it. She shut the game down. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you all a great writer and my literary sister. You all know her as Trice Hickman. I call her Trice Crispy. Trice, welcome to the Scribe Spot, my friend.
Brian, you know I am dying laughing over here.
Don't blame it on me. Blame it on this Hennessy, baby. Don't blame it on me.
Are you sipping your Henny?
I'm sipping a Henny. Try being entertained. How you doing, bitch?
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Brian.
Well, thanks for coming on. I know you're a busy sister these days and found time for an old friend, and I appreciate it. What's going on with you?
Wow, that's a loaded question. Just about everything nowadays.
Well, you're back down in North Kakalaki these days, right?
Yes, I am. So much has changed in my life over the past couple of years, including a move to North Carolina, which I'm so excited about being back in my home state because North Carolina is where I was born and raised, and I left in my 20s, and now I'm back, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Back to my southern roots.
Back to the southern roots now. Was it North Carolina where you developed your love affair with Michael Jackson?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I used to love me some MJ.
Yes, indeed. You weren't alone. A lot of people like Michael Jackson, but the million-dollar question is, and this is going to show just where your head is, and it's going to determine whether or not some people continue to buy your books, so you need to answer this question correctly.
Uh-oh.
Which was the best Michael Jackson album, Off the Wall or Thriller?
Off the Wall.
Okay, all right. Look at you. We could probably keep being friends, huh? You know, I'm good. I'm glad you answered that right. I was about to hang up the phone, but I'm glad you answered that right, man. Off the Wall, Beast Thriller, any day. So I understand that you're a native of North Carolina. Exactly what part?
I was born in Newburgh, North Carolina, which is a small town on the eastern coast of North Carolina, near the beach. My family is still down in that area, and it's a beautiful area if you ever want to visit.
So, as a result of being a native Carolinian, I guess mm-hmm. it stands to reason that if you chose to go to HBCU, it would be Winston-Salem State University, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, I credit my Uncle Craig for helping me make that decision, whether he knew it or not. I remember I was in middle school, I was in junior high school, and I went to his college graduation at Winston-Salem State University, and I just fell in love. I fell in love with everything about the school as a young kid. And I said, you know, one day I'm going to go to Winston-Salem State University. And so when I started applying for colleges, I applied for colleges and universities across the country, and I was accepted at every school that I had applied to. But I chose Winston-Salem State for a number of reasons. They were one of the few that had a dedicated math communications program, which was my major. And also, I wanted the HBCU experience at the high school that I graduated from. The African-American population was at best maybe 10%, maybe. And so I wanted the experience of going to an HBCU, and I'll tell you, I would not trade it for the world. I love my HBCU. It's one of the best decisions I ever made, and I have lifelong friends who, are just tight with me to this day that I met as a student at WSSU.
Now, before we go any further, let me ask you this. Are you on a speakerphone or are you speaking through a hand, through the receiver?
I'm on a speaker.
It's a slight echo.
Okay. Let me pick it up. Okay, how about this? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I can hear you better now.
Wonderful.
Okay. So you were saying that you loved your HBCU experience at Winston-Salem State University. I'm going to assume you feel like it prepared you for this harsh world that was waiting for you at graduation. You know, it's interesting because I have degrees, but I didn't graduate from HBCU, although I was accepted into Morehouse, just never got a chance to fully attend because I moved back to New Orleans to be with my mom, who was sick at the time. But I always wanted that HBCU experience. How do you feel it prepared you for the harsh real world that was waiting?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And at an HBCU, or at least the HBCU that I attended, I wasn't just a number. and the professors, there's just such a family environment that you get when you're at an HBCU. I'll give you an example. two of my professors who I keep in touch with to this day were so instrumental in so many ways in shaping me into who I am now. Marilyn Roseboro, who pushed every student she had to excel in the things that I learned from her in public relations and marketing and communications. I use that now in my writing career with my books. Dr. Valerie Sadler, who was a journalism major, this woman took time out of her schedule one day, rounded up a bunch of us, took us in her car, drove us to a job fair in another city. She didn't have to do that. You know, that's the kind of, you know, we were graduating seniors. We were looking for jobs. She helped us get our resumes together. She took us to job fairs. So that's the kind of just care and that my instructors put into my development. And really, I have to credit another one of my teachers who was just very instrumental, Dr. Elwanda Ingram. She was instrumental in introducing me to the possibility of becoming a writer. I took her advanced English literature course as a young sophomore, and I had never read, I'd always been an avid reader, but I had never read, sadly, books by African-American women because, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't have the access to the books that we have now by African-American writers. And in particular, you know, I grew up in a small southern town, so the Dare. But when I walked into Dr. Ingram's class, she introduced me to writers like Alice Walker and Zora Neale Hurston and, you know, writers and poets. And it really changed my life, and I started thinking, hey, I can be a writer too.
So is that when the writing, I guess, bug was discovered?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. But it took almost two decades for it to really take hold because that's how long I suffered from writer's block. And, you know, that's a testimony I love to share with everyone, whether it's you want to write or you want whatever it is that you want to do. If you have a dream and you're determined and you don't let go of that dream, eventually you'll realize the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I never let go of the dream of wanting to write a book. And I had writer's block, but I continued to read through the writer's block, and I continue to dream, and, you know, and here I am today.
Well, and you are here in a big way, my friend. You are doing big things. I always marveled at how much our careers parallel. We both came into this business around 2005. We both started as self-authors. We were both laid off from our corporate jobs. When you look back over your career as a writer so far, I know that you have had a lot of highs, but I'm curious to know what was your lowest moment? Can you tell me about your lowest moment?
Wow. let's see, what was my lowest moment? That's a good question, Brian. I don't think I can pinpoint one particular low moment. I will say that I think I have lows when I am struggling to finish a book under deadline. There's a high and low in that when readers open a book and they read the story, they can sit down and some readers can read a book within one setting in or in one weekend. But the process of us to write that book, it can take anywhere from many weeks to many months to many years. And so there are highs and lows that you go through in writing a book. And so those are some of my, you know, some low points in struggling with, you know, just the sleepless nights, the times when you cannot go with friends or family to do something fun or spend time with them or talk on the phone with them or give them the time that they need because the characters dictate that you write, the deadline dictates that you write, you know. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's these books don't write themselves, man. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of readers, they just see the end results. They don't really know all of the stress that can accompany trying to put the story together. It's not, especially if you're coming off of a hit book. Like, it's crazy because it's one of those career fields that the better you do, the more you stress. Because you know, everyone's expecting that the next project will be better than the last. Mediocrity won't suffice. If you're not getting better, theoretically you're getting worse. So it can be very stressful, you know. But you know, this, as you stated before, there are highs and lows. So rather than belabor the point about the lows, I like to hear everyone's low is different. So I'm always curious about that. But I remember you and I sort of being each other's sounding board back in the 2008, 2009. I don't know. It's been a minute now, but we're both on the Chitlin circuit doing our thing, and even before we started doing the radio show together. Take us to that point when your agent called you and said, Kensington wants to make you an offer. Recreate that day.
Wow. Now, that was a real high. Actually, it worked, you know, and everybody's experience is very different. And it wasn't my literary agent that called me. Actually, I contacted my literary agent, and I'll tell you what happened. Of course, when I wrote my debut novel, Unexpected Interruptions, I wrote it in 2004, and every single publisher, editor, everyone I submitted my manuscript to turned me down, every agent, everybody, and including my agent that I have now. But I was determined to publish the book, so of course I self-published, and then I published another one, and I was in the middle of publishing my third book when one morning I woke up and there was an email from Kensington, from an editor at Kensington, and she said, "Hey, Trice, we are interested in talking with you about working with you. If you're interested, give me a call." So I called her and we spoke, and you know, she expressed interest in that she wanted to talk about a book deal, a multi-book deal. And so the first
stop
thing
right
I did
there.
Was
stop,
like,
stop right there. Stop right there. Did the screen come before you called her after you read the email or after the phone call?
During and after. And when she said multi-book deal, then the shouting came.
Yes, indeed. I ain't mad at you.
You know, but see, and this is the crazy thing. So, and this is an example of how you never burn bridges and you always keep a good rapport and a good relationship with people because you never know what's going to cycle back around in life. As I mentioned, I was rejected by every agent I sent my manuscript to, but my particular agent, who is Janelle Walden Adjerman, I love her, love her, love her. she had turned me down, but she offered some really constructive criticism and advice, and that stuck out to me, and we communicated, and I thanked her for it, and I told her I wanted to continue to communicate with her. So over the years, as a self-published writer, I put her on my mailing list, and so I wanted her to see my progress of what I was doing, and we kept in touch every now and then. And so when when I was contacted by Kensington, I reached out to her and I said, I need representation. I've got a possible contract on the table. And she was so happy for me, and she said, I would love to. And I'll tell you, having an agent is so invaluable, because she really, really negotiated my contract with me, and she gives me great advice, and beyond that, she's become a very dear and valued friend. So, you know, that has been a great, great high for me, the relationship I have with my publisher now, because it was difficult coming from being self-published to a traditional publisher. But through growing pains, you know, I have a great relationship with them now, great relationship with my agent, and I'm looking forward to a lot of many more books.
Well, that's a perfect segue to what I want to ask you next. Could you tell me what you got going on now? Now, I know that you got this Dangerous Love series going, but for those people who aren't familiar with it, I guess you could start about talking about your current novel, Deadly Satisfaction, but if you want to sort of paint a picture of how this series came to be, why don't you take a moment to do that?
Okay, well, Deadly Satisfaction is the second book in the Dangerous Love series, and it picks up where the first book, Secret Indiscretions, left off. And this particular series I'm so excited about. It's kind of a departure from my normal style of writing. I continue with the same themes of, you know, these characters who are struggling to find their way, and you know, they're good people who make poor decisions, and then they have to figure out how they're going to recover from it. Well, with this series, it's a lot edgier. There's a lot more action, and there's even some murder. I don't usually kill people in my books, but now people are getting killed. So.
Yeah, this is a little departure from your normal style. It's going to be hard for people to take your personality and think that a murder can come out of that personality. You know? You kind of got this Susie Sunshine way about you. In fact, you're out here killing people and got freaky scenes. I mean, come on, Trace, what's up? Where's all this coming from? What's up?
You know, it's funny. A reviewer said that she actually commented and said, I can't believe this soft-voiced woman writes these books. You know, it's the imagination. It's the imagination. I think we all have that, you know, side of us that can go there. And for me, I'm finding, you know, great fun in writing these bad characters. I mean, the villains are the fun people to write. And so I'm writing these characters who do just these crazy, crazy things, and I sit and I think, oh my gosh, did she really do that, or did he really do that? And so it's been kind of fun, and it's also been very interesting with the way a particular character has developed in my books. She is a transgender woman of color, and and so you readers see the transformation of Danetta from book one to book two, and now the third book that I'm writing. And it has been an eye-opening experience for me, Brian, because when I first developed this character, you know, this was before the whole transgender issue came to light with Caitlyn Jenner and Orange is the New Black. I had developed this character several years ago, and I didn't even realize this character was transgender at the time. Initially, this character was a gay man who was a hairdresser. He was a hairstylist, and I do a biography of each character when they come to me as they develop, so that I'll know them inside and out, and I'll be able to write about them in their voice and not my own. And so as I was developing this character, I kept looking at this character, and I was like, gosh, he's a guy, but it's more than just an effeminate gay man. This man is more like a woman. As a matter of fact, this man believes he is a woman. He feels innately female, and I did not understand what that was. And so it confused even me. And so I then began the journey of researching what it means to be transgender and befriending men and women in the transgender community to learn more about just transgender. And so that comes across in the book and what the character goes through.
Now, before we go any further, let me just put out there for those who want to call in and speak to Trace, you can call area code 516-453-6053 if you'd like to call in and ask Trace any questions about her work, past, future, and present. Now, did you have to, did it take a lot of arm twisting, or was it a challenge to sell your publisher on going such a, I don't want to use the word radical, but definitely taking such a sharp turn in your writing about such a sensitive topic? Did that have to be sold, or did they embrace it?
You know, they really embraced it. They really embraced it, and my editor, I have a new editor now, but my editor at the time, she told me, she said, you know, Trace, go for it. Because at first, you know, there was a little concern about, just a different direction in my writing, but we agreed that it was going to be, you know, a good turn. And it is.
And that's why I asked, because taking such a sharp turn like that, sometimes it's those type of topics that highlight and illustrate the fundamental difference between being self-published and writing under a publisher. Because when you're self-published or you're an independent publisher, you can take any type of zigzags and turns that you want. You can be very experimental and exploratory with your writing. But when you're signed to a major label, sometimes that desire to be adventurous isn't always met. That's why I asked the question, especially with you, coming from a self-publishing background. I was just curious to know if introducing such a sensitive topic to your readers was embraced by your publisher. I'm glad to hear that it was.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, I have gotten such great feedback from these two books from readers. And, you know, whether they, agree with, the character's life and who she is or not, they see her as a person who wants love. And I think that's what it boils down to. You know, we cannot stand in judgment of our brothers and sisters. Only God can do that. Mm-hmm. And what it comes down to in life is tough. Life is hard. And finding love on any level is a blessing. And then when you start putting qualifiers on the packages that you think love is going to come in, watch out. Because, you know, life is not without irony. So, I think that it is important for people to just know that regardless of where you are, who you are, everybody wants love, and they deserve love.
Right.
And so this is a character who has faced many trials and tribulations, being, number one, a person of color, in this world. Number two, a person who is transgender in the South, you know, looking and fighting for love and staying true to who they are. And so I thought it was important to tell that story because we, you know, in the African-American community, we come in all colors, shapes, sizes, and, you know, and everybody wants love, and this character wants love, and, you know, she goes through a lot to get it.
I feel you. I am, based on what I've seen of the reviews, the readers are enjoying the storyline. I mean, there's 5 stars across the board, so congratulations, my friend. And as a result of this, I see that you got another Female Author of the Year nomination. So whatever you're doing it right. So congratulations to you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much.
Let's take a moment and take a call here. Caller from area code 601. You are on the Scribe Spot with Brian W. Smith and Trice Hickman. Say hello to Trice, caller.
Hi, Trice.
Hi.
This is Rose. From Savannah.
Hi, Rose. Oh, I'm doing well. Hi, Rose. How are you?
I am wonderful listening to you guys. I was trying to see if you're going to get it right about MJ, too, because, you know, everybody likes Thriller, but, you know, Off the Wall was off the wall.
See, that's why I asked the question, Rose. Rose, I told her I was going to hang up on that shit and got it wrong.
I heard you.
Our friendship was going to come to an immediate end, right. Rose, thank you for calling into the show, my friend. What question do you have
so
for
I'm so proud of you.
Trice Hickman. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm
proud of you, Trice. And I'm proud of you too, Brian, for you guys doing this again because it gives me something to do when I'm off and I can listen in and see what's going on with you guys and what y'all got going on and that just keeps us connected even more. I was listening to your saying about the book. It's gonna change. You go kill somebody? Oh my.
That's different.
Because, you know, you always, I wouldn't say good girl, but you try to keep it good, you know, and you can find the good in everything. So we're gonna have a little murder going on, huh? And transgender. Okay. Wow.
Rose, I've been knew she was crazy as hell. She just started to put me in the But you ain't heard that from me. That's 23 of us. We ain't said nobody. She been crazy
in the backyard. You gonna have
Barry
in the backyard?
She been crazy in the back of rock.
You can come to the fantasy.
She a couple of towns just showed up a picnic, Rose. I know it. She just gonna put it in right now. So, but I'm proud of her.
Let me tell you this. This is so funny because, you know, I am, you know, the quintessential Southern Belle. I call myself a Southern Belle. I have a blog called The Southern Belle. And I'm by nature a very calm, kind of gentle person, just by nature. But with the book, it has surprised a lot of people because, yes, there's murder, there's a transgender character. I've always had a fair amount of sex in my book. And so now it's taking on.
She's not rude. She's freaky. She put a little splash of crazy with that freaky.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes that does happen, especially if you get all right, crazy.
You see, we got to cut Rose off, Trice. She about to get riled up.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Rose, thank you so much for calling in, and I'm going to be in Jackson, Mississippi, in your neck of the woods this summer, so I can't wait to see you.
No, you're not. What would you get? You got a book sign and stuff in here?
Yeah. I'm going to be with the Mississippi Magnolias Book Club.
Are they in Jackson area or on the coast?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Send me the details.
I will.
Rose, look, you have always been a big supporter of mine and Trice. I mean, it's because of people like you. It's because of people like you, book clubs like yourself, like the one you run, Savvy Book Clubs out of the Jackson, Mississippi area. It's because of clubs like yours that we're able to maintain our careers and our eat. You know, you help us eat by constantly supporting us, and even more so, encouraging others to support us. And I appreciate your support.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And
absolutely.
This month coming up will be our 10th year anniversary. Woo-hoo! So,
no doubt.
10 years of following you guys.
Congratulations, Rosie.
All right, dear. Well, so you guys, take care.
All right, Rose. Thanks for calling.
I'm going to keep listening, though. But y'all, I know y'all will talk so bad. All right, take care, guys.
Okay,
all right, bye,
Rose.
All right.
Bye, Rose.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's just one of the many book clubs that support us, you know, and keep things, they enable us to do what we do, so. The good people out of Jackson, Mississippi. That's Rose Wright, Savvy Book Club out of Jackson, Mississippi. So tell me, Trice, this is a question I always like to ask people because the answers are usually so profound. And, you know, when you know better, you do better. And if life goes on, we learn a lot, oftentimes from our mistakes. So knowing what you know now about this business, what would Trice of 2016 tell Trice of 2006?
The 2000 Trice of now would say, this too shall pass. I think that in the last couple of years, you know, I mentioned early on that I've had a lot of transition and change, one of which was moving to North Carolina. The reason why I moved to North Carolina is because I went through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it was painful. And when you're going through painful situations, it feels overwhelming. It feels insurmountable at times, but this too shall pass. You know,
right.
And I'm learning now not to be as hard on myself. I'm learning to give myself more credit for things. I'm learning to start having more fun. Last summer, I took my first vacation since the early 1990s, since 1991.
Wow.
I know, right? So, over 20 years. So
right.
I am, you know, I'm giving myself permission to be so much more than I gave myself credit for. So, I guess that's a very loaded answer.
That's a good answer. I mean, That's real talk, though, and that's the kind of stuff. I think it's important that people who follow you, that they know that we may be, call it, after watching stuff like the Oscars and the Grammys, or whatever, in our little literary circles, we're quasi celebrities. You go to these places, people pay money to come out and see you, but. Oftentimes they have no idea that sometimes you're sitting on that stage in front of hundreds of people and you're going through stuff, you know what I'm saying? But you got to put on that good face and you got to play the game. So I think it's important that people understand that even someone as successful as you are, you have had to adapt and overcome. And as you say, embrace the adage that this too shall pass, you know. So I think that's a beautiful thing. What do you have coming up next? I mean, we know that you have this book out that's doing pretty well, but what's next? What comes after Deadly Satisfaction?
Well, right now I am in my writing cave, and I am working on the third book in the Dangerous Love series, which is titled Deadly Liaison. So I'll finish that up in fairly soon. My deadline is looming. So that's what I'm working on book-wise. I am revamping my website and my Fabulous Southern Belle blog, and I really want to get more into that as well, because it's something that gives me a lot of enjoyment, writing on the blog about things that I love. Like, you know, if I wasn't writing, I would be like a domestic goddess guru. Like, I love.
So you've been a black Martha Stewart?
Oh yeah. That's me. I mean, I'm so down home, and you know, so southern, and I love like entertaining and cooking and decorating and all of those things. I love it, and so I blog about it. I write about it. I do recipes and how to's, and so I want to do more of that, because that gives me great joy and it's fun and I love it. And I also have some literary events. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say something?
No. Go ahead.
I also have some literary events coming up. And speaking of like my love of all things domestic, I'm going to be doing a book signing. I think it's let me look at the calendar. I think it's April 7th or 9th at Williams Sonoma, which is one of my favorite stores. I'm doing a book signing, April 9th from 2 to 4 p.m. in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at Haynes Mall at Williams-Sonoma. And,
What time is that event?
It's from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
3 to 4. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, one of my characters in the book, she loves Williams-Sonoma, and it's written into the book. And so Williams-Sonoma's hosting a book signing for me there. So I'm really excited about that. But I'll also be it's the 23rd. You and I and Rashonda Tate Billingsley will be at the Sisters of Urban Literature Book Club event in Greensboro, North Carolina. So we're both looking forward to that, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be on April 23rd, to be exact, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. will be you, Rashonda Tate Billingsley, and myself, Brian W. Smith. And this event is hosted by Sisters of Urban Literature Book Club, and it's going to be at the Clarion Hotel at the airport, 415 South Swing Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Tickets are going fast. My last conversation with Karen Waiters, the event is almost sold out, so just type in Karen Bowman, and her name should pop up on the Facebook, and you can contact Karen about where you can get the tickets. I'm sure she can point you in the right direction. But Karen Michelle Bowman, type in her name on Facebook, and she can provide you with all the information regarding this event. When you and Rashonda get together, you know, y'all lose your mind, y'all get back and crazy. So I'll be there. And support to keep you ladies in check, because you know y'all get me. Y'all get
together. So you're keeping.
I'm the tame one in the bunch, right? So, I'm the tame one in the bunch, so you know. I'm gonna make sure that y'all stay straight, because we're expecting a packed house, and it's gonna be a lot of grown folk conversation. So make sure you come out, avid readers. We want you guys to descend on the Clarion Hotel Airport in Greensboro, North Carolina, on April 23rd. Although it's going to be some, we're going to be talking about books and a whole lot of grown folk talk. So make sure you come on out. Trice, my friend, what can I say? You are a very special person to me. From the moment we met, we clicked. And I just want you to know that as long as I'm doing what I do, you will have a platform to do whatever it is you need to do, my sister. Okay?
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate your support, your friendship, and just everything. And you know, what you're doing now with this platform to give authors a chance to connect with readers. We're always looking for that opportunity and that chance. And for you to do this with so many writers, it's just a real blessing, and I appreciate you for it and for all that you do to help, because you really do help a lot of people in the literary community. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you, my friend, and for everyone who's listening, just know that the Scribe Spot will continue to come your way on Monday nights, 7 p.m. Central. My guests are going to be very diverse. This is not the Oscars. I have a diverse guest list lined up for you. Things ranging from Caroline Kepnes to Deborah Crombie to Eric Jerome Dickey to Brenda Jackson. You name it, the guest list is going to be a beast. So I ask that you guys continue to tune in every week. Share the links with your family and your friends. They help me grow the show. Trice, thank you, my friend, for coming in, calling in, and participating tonight. And continued success to you, my sister.
Thank you so much, Brian, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
No doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the fabulous Trice Hickman. Like I said before, if you belong to a book club, tell your members about the show. If you're just an avid reader with no book club affiliation, tell your friends who you think will enjoy the show. The link to listen to tonight's show and other past shows is blogtalkradio.com/thescribespot. Once you go on that page, all of the shows that I've done, the various guests that have appeared on the show, they will all pop up, and you can click on whichever show you'd like to listen to, whether it be tonight's show, Trice Hickman, last week's show with the fabulous Kimberly Lawson Rovey. Tune in next week, and the guests are going to keep coming. If you're in need of something to read, make sure you check out my latest novel, Quagmire. You can purchase the paperback from my website at www.authorbrianwsmith.com or the ebook from amazon.com. As Trice stated, I'll be on the road, but even before I get to Carolina, hanging out with her and Rashonda Billingsley, you can catch me in a couple of weeks, March 19th to be exact, at the Literary Lounge, hosted by Literary Ladies Book Club. This is an event. It's going to be in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Woodbridge, New Jersey, Chris Michaels Steakhouse and Lounge. I will be appearing there with the awesome Daniel Black, R.M. Johnson, Victor McLaughlin, K.L. Belvin, Clever Black, and myself, Brian W. Smith. We are going to swoop down on New Jersey and act a fool. So make sure you come on out. That is March the 19th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Chris Michaels Steakhouse and Lounge. Grown folk talk, good food, one big old dinner with the six of us. Myself, Daniel Black, Arlen Johnson, Victor McLaughlin, K.L. Belvin, Clever Black. Everybody knows me. I'm always on my grind, so I ain't hard to find. If you want to find me on Facebook, just type in Brian W. Smith. It should pop right up. Instagram, check me at Author B.W. Smith. That should pop right up. And I'm on Twitter as well, King B.W. Smith. So that's it for tonight. until next time, next week, I want you to love God, love yourself, and please, please, please continue to love books. Thank you.